Please take your copy of the Word of God with me this morning to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4. It was my intention as we continue through this book of the Bible is to get into chapter 5. We'll have to wait for that tonight because there are three little words at the end of chapter 4 that I just couldn't get away from. And I know we looked at this passage as a whole last Sunday, but we want to look at the last part, the last three words of the last verse of 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's back up and start reading. How about in verse 13? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." I want you to consider this morning as we look at those last three little words there, a faithful Creator. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would speak, that you would accomplish your purpose for this time. And Lord, that we would be hearts that are open to whatever you'd have to say to us. Please, God, if there's someone here that's not saved, may they understand their need of Christ. And we pray they would repent and put faith in him and believe today. And Lord, for every child of God here this morning, we pray that you would edify them and build them up upon their most holy faith and help them. And God, that you would focus our attention upon you in a very troubled world. May we be focused, Lord, clearly on what a wonderful, faithful Creator you are. And we'll thank you for that help today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. The Bible says a faithful Creator. Only five times in the Bible is the word Creator mentioned. We'll probably look at every one of those this morning. But when the Bible speaks of our Creator in this verse, it says he is a faithful Creator. We read that this morning before Sunday school when the Bible says, "Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." If there's anything that we can be assured of this morning is not just the fact that humanity is very unfaithful, but is that God is a faithful Creator. He's a faithful God. And no matter how many people fail in life, God will never fail. And no matter how many people turn away from the truth and stop being faithful to the God that saved them or to the heritage that they have been given, we have a faithful Creator. The psalmist said it like this. He said, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." He said, "With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." If we preach sermons about our faithfulness, they would probably be very short. But if we will preach about the faithfulness of God, then that subject would never end. And every generation and every people needs to understand and be aware of a faithful God, a faithful Creator. The Bible said in Lamentations chapter 3, which is a very sorrowful book. That's the purpose or the meaning of the name of the book, Lamentations. A lot of crying, a lot of weeping there. But the prophet said it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And we sang that this morning, not just because it's a nice song, because it's true about our God. And so the Word of God wants us to remember, especially the context of 1 Peter, as you're suffering, as whatever you're going through, that you've got a faithful God. Now, as I studied the Bible and I studied that word creator, and the five times that I saw it used, I saw a responsibility on our end to our creator. In the first place I want you to go with me, would you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we'll just let the Bible speak and what it says about our creator and our responsibilities to him. In other words, because I understand that I have a creator, then some things should follow in my life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now you understand, the book of Ecclesiastes is written by the wisest man who ever lived on the face of the earth, I believe, of course, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, that knew it all and experienced it all, writes this as he concludes his book. He said, with great wisdom and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Ecclesiastes 12:1, he says, remember now thy Creator. Not remember him tomorrow or remember him somewhere down the road or when you feel like it or when you get serious about it, but the writer says, remember now, right now. Right now in 2017, as you're seated in this auditorium, you need to remember now. You need to think about God now because he's your creator and because he made you. He deserves us to think about him and to look to him and to consider him. Remember now thy creator. Watch, he says, in the days of thy youth. If we've ever had a generation of youth or young people, that, and of course, that age is changing all the time for me, who I consider to be young. But it doesn't matter where you find yourself in life. If you don't start remembering and considering your Creator, then life will have no meaning. It'll have no purpose, and it'll be filled with danger, fraught with danger, if you don't remember now, right now, before. And all this text here goes on to talk about old age and how we are all approaching the dust. And we all are going to leave this world. That's what verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 speaks about. So you need to remember now. Remember now before you die. Remember now the importance of your God. Not the importance of your family or the importance of your job or the importance of whatever you think that's important in your life. But right now, remember your Creator. Remember God and think about, what does He want? What does He deserve? What is my responsibility to my Creator? Remember now. And the preacher says here, he says in verse 13, well, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If I really considered my Creator and I understand that my life is fleeting and it's passing by, what's the conclusion of the matter for me? Let us hear the conclusion of the matter, the whole matter. Fear God. In other words, if I really remember my Creator, it'll cause me to fear Him. If I'm remembering my Creator, I know how big He is. I know how strong He is. I know my responsibility to it because He made me. So I need to be afraid of Him. That's not an idea that this world, even the religious world, wants to communicate to the world. Oh, you need to fear God. Well, if you remember the Creator and you have a responsibility, there should be some fear there. That's what the Bible says. And that's not just an Old Testament verse. All through the New Testament talks about fearing God, serving God with reverence and godly fear. And we have a generation that has forgotten God. And you know that because they're not afraid of God. They're not afraid to live in a contrary way to His Word and His commandments. Look at the rest of the word. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and what? Keep His commandments. If you understand and believe you have a Creator, then you have a responsibility to Him to do whatever He tells you to do. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And then the last verse, Ecclesiastes, he says, for God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh, I've got to, if I remember my Creator, that means that I'm going to understand that that Creator is going to, I'm going to stand before Him one day. He's going to judge me. And we have a society that's forgotten God. And I remind you what the psalmist wrote in Psalm chapter 9. He said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We are in a post-Christian society that has forgotten their Creator. And when you look around at what's happening in our world, you can just mark it down. You are introduced to a society that has forgotten God. It is a society that has forgotten their Creator. And this is the result of it. We've got a Senate election this Tuesday, and one of the candidates, Judge Roy Moore, I never forget, I was watching, this was years ago, whenever they passed the Supreme Court ruling of homosexual marriage, and the anchor was trying to argue with him, and he says, and Judge Moore said this, he said, we get our rights from God, and oh, the guy went ballistic. He said, we don't get our rights from God, we get them from the law. And Judge Moore said, no, your law tells you that you get your rights from God. He said, what are you talking about? You know what he did? He quoted the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That we're endued with what? We're endued by these, that we with rights from our Creator. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That's the founding document. That's the organic law of the whole land. That's before the Constitution. The people that started our nation, started our society, say, hey, guess what? We know, we remember, while we're writing the first words of this document, we have a Creator. And we have a responsibility to that Creator. And this Creator is such a loving Creator that He's given us some rights. But don't you dare take a right that He didn't give you. And that was the point. If God didn't give you that right, then it's not a right, because your rights come from God, your Creator. We have a society that's been taught that there is no Creator. And that's why people are out of control. And that's why people are crazy. And that's why people have no direction in life, because they've forgotten their Creator. And they're taught in our school systems from a very small child that they came from nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. Everything came from something. I never forget, I was trying to witness to a young man in his 30s in Greece, educated man, you know, and I was trying to give him the gospel there in Thessaloniki, and he started talking. I just tried, you know, if people don't believe in God, it's really difficult to get the first base. So I just said, why don't you believe in God? He said, no, I believe in science. And I said, okay, well, then where did you come from? And he started telling me the monkey story, you know. And, isn't that amazing? Just amazing. He believed in evolution. If evolution's real, where is it evolving? It's got to be somewhere. It's got some just left over. I mean, something's got to be changing into something else. And so I was talking to him, and the monkeys, where'd they come from? All right, we went back to the, and then where did the thing that crawled out of the swamp come from? Well, it came from a tadpole. Where'd the tadpole? We just kept going back. I said, where'd that come from? And finally, you know, we got to the gases with the Big Bang. Okay, the gases. I said, and where did the gases come from? He said, from the dark gray matter. I said, oh, between your ears. No, I didn't say that. He said, from the dark gray matter. And I said, where did that come from? And he looked at me and said, I don't know. He was at least honest. I don't know. And I said, so you have faith in something you can't see, you've never experienced. There have been no scientific observations about any of that at all in the history of mankind. And you've got faith that there was gray matter there, but you have no idea how it got there. And you're educated. And I told him, I said, well, sir, I've got faith in God, and I'd much rather have faith in a Creator than faith in gray matter. Amen. God already told us the story. And it's not just young men. I was in preaching this week in Florida, as you know, and I was in a shop there with the pastor, and the guy was getting close to 70 years old, and the pastor was doing his business, invited him out to the meeting we were having, and we started talking to him about his soul, and he just looked at me and said, "I don't believe in God." And he's a 70-year-old, you know, almost in Florida there. "You don't believe in God?" "No, I don't believe in God." I said, "Well, sir, where did everything come from?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, if you don't know where everything comes from, then you don't even know where you're going. You don't even know why you're here. How important it is for our society to get back to the fact we have a Creator. We need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And if I don't understand my Creator, and if I don't believe in a Creator, I don't know where I came from. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know where I'm going. I have no direction in life. I have no moral compass. There's nothing good. There's nothing evil. It's just I'm going to die like a dog." But we do have a Creator. The Bible said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And by the way, one day He's going to create new heavens and new earth. Amen. He's not just a God that created in the past, but He still has the same power to create in the future. One day He's going to give us another world. Amen. And one day He's going to give us heavens that are purified because man has spoiled this one. That Creator, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, not only created the heaven and the earth, but Genesis 1:27. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him." Uh-oh, here we're going to get into politics. "Male and female created He them." Why do we have all this craziness where you enter into Harvard and you pick one of five genders? Or listed in New York State, there's 20-something genders. Because people have forgotten that God created man in Him, His image, male and female created He them. And if that's hate speech, then I'll stick with Moses. Genesis 5:1, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them and blessed them." That's God's word. That's the truth. And what we're seeing in our society is, man does not want to accept God's creation. They don't want to accept that there is a Creator, and they don't want to accept how God made them to be. So they'll be their own God, and they'll have no responsibility in front of Him. By the way, God creates souls every day. The Bible says in Psalm 102, verse 18, "The people which shall be created." You say, "Well, no, a man and a woman creates." No, a man and a woman can create a body, but they can't create a soul. God has to do that, you see. Look at Psalm 51, but I don't want to just stop there. Our Creator is to be remembered. But wait a minute. If God is still a powerful Creator, now watch what the Scripture says. Get Psalm 51, and with your other hand, would you get Ephesians chapter 2. Now, you say, what does that have to do with me? I tell you what it has to do with you. If you'll believe and if you'll remember your Creator and know that He made something when there was nothing, the testimony of the Scripture is that He can make something in you where there's nothing. He can do a miracle and create life where there's death. He can do a miracle and make something holy that could never be holy and was not that way. He can take something that's lost and make it to be found. Psalm chapter 51, David says in verse 10, what's that word? Create. David just did not say, "Lord, wash my heart." He says, "Create in me." Wow.
create in me a clean heart, O God. In other words, God, I need you to give me a new heart, a heart that I don't have, a heart that only you can create. And just like God made little apples, amen, God can make a clean heart. You can't make your heart clean. You can't make your life clean. But God can create that in you through the power of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How's that done? Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, you know verse 8 and 9, right? It's about salvation. If you're here not saved, we beg you to come to Jesus, be saved. I mean, everybody will just rejoice that you made that decision. Ephesians 2, 8 says, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship. What's that next word? Created. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Salvation is not turning over a new leaf. It's not reformation. It's not you doing better. Salvation is you coming to God as a poor sinner and saying, God, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to be accepted. I am a bankrupt sinner, but I'm trusting your Son. And at that moment, God creates a new man in your heart. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, look at it. He mentions it again. He says in Ephesians 4, 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is what? Created in righteousness and true holiness. There's nothing righteous and holy about us. But if you'll get saved by the grace of God, He will create righteousness in you. He will create holiness in you. Because He'll put a new man on the inside. That's why we have different lives, because God made the life different. Remember now thy Creator. Look at Romans chapter 1 now, the second reference I call your attention to. If we have a Creator, and we certainly do, He is to be remembered. Secondly, if we have a Creator, which we certainly do, then this next reference to our Creator in the Bible gives us other responsibilities. Romans chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 25, Romans 1, 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. 2017. Churches all around today. Religions, nations, country, politicians, the news media. Changing the truth of God into a lie. School system, friends, neighbors, workplaces, changed the truth of God into a lie. Now look at it. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, there's our word, who is blessed forever, amen. You know, in the midst of this text, it is such debauchery and wickedness and blackness and darkness, and right in the middle of it, Paul wants to write and say, man, with all this stuff, they're worthy of death. You know, these sodomites and these backbiters and haters of God and fornicators. He mentions all these people here, and these people full of envy and murder and covetous and all these people. He said, and in the midst of all that, he says, well, praise God, we have a Creator that's blessed forever. Amen. In the midst of that society, the Creator's still blessed, and the Creator's still holy, and the Creator's still true, and the Creator still deserves to be worshipped. And even in this wicked and adulterous generation, the Creator is still being worshipped. He says, they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. So here's the idea. If we have a Creator, and we do, then we have a responsibility to and a privilege to worship Him and to serve Him. And our society flips it the other way. They worship themselves. And they serve themselves. And it doesn't matter what the God is. A lot of people worship their body. Or they worship somebody else's body. Right? Or they worship a sports figure. Or they worship a preacher. Or they worship a religion. Or they worship the money that they have, or some singer, or some actor, God forbid, or some military hero. Man is a consummate worshiper of himself or their kids. That's a popular one with Christian people. And you know that they're worshiping somebody else because the accolades aren't going to the Creator, and the praise and the glory is not going to God. It's being talked about somebody else down here that doesn't merit that mention. But man, we're meeting here this morning not to sing praise to Buddha or Muhammad or you or me or anybody else or America. We don't even worship our nation. We're thankful for what God has given us. We don't worship our family, but we lift our voice to God and say, "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And you're my God." And worship is something that comes from our heart. Jesus said that if you worship Him, you got to worship Him spirit and truth. It's not just something from your heart. It's got to be understood. The truth to worship God, you have to understand the truth of God and who He is and what He said and what He requires. But also, it's not just something in truth. There's a lot of people that know the Bible but don't worship God because they don't worship Him in spirit. And the song is a song out their mouth, but it's not a song from their heart. And a prayer is something they've learned to pray, but not something they've done from their soul. And this morning, what I'm telling you, God made you, and what He deserves from us is to come in here and lift our hearts to Him and say, "Lord God, I love You. Thank You for my life. I praise You. I worship You." And right after that worship, He says, "I'll serve You." They worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. What is the purpose of my life? It's not just the purpose of a preacher's life. It's a purpose of every human being's life to serve the Creator. Amen. He gave you life. He didn't give it for you. He gave you life for His glory. He gave you life so that you would live for His pleasure. Revelation 4:11 says, "For thy pleasure they are and were created." Colossians 1:16, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "For by Him and for Him were all things created." The purpose of my life isn't to enjoy my life, but to serve my Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how is Jesus the Creator when He says God the Creator? Well, Jesus is God. And in Him, there's all the Godhead dwell bodily, you see. He's the Creator. So my life is for Him. I'm serving Him. The purpose, see, that's what I'm saying. People live life without any purpose because if you don't understand that you have a Creator, that you have an obligation to serve and live for, life is just vanity. Just vanity. You're put here for Him. And you're not going to last long, too. You're wearing out, man. Anybody notice that? You're wearing out. Your joints is wearing out. Your mind is wearing out. Isn't that right? We're just all wearing out. So I've got this one little life. I've got this one little dash of years. And the purpose is to do what the Creator put me here to do. And that was to bring glory to Him and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him have my life. And I'll take my hands off of it, like in the Old Testament. Those burnt offerings, man, they just burn it up. There wasn't anything left for themselves. It was all for God. Your Creator is to be worshipped and served. I go to Isaiah because really I've got to hurry, but Isaiah more frequently, probably than any other writer, talks about creation. And he uses the word Creator two times. One time he talks about God being the Creator of Israel in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15. And by the way, that's why God hates Israel, the devil hates Israel. The devil hates Israel. Satan hates Israel because God created Israel. That's right here, Isaiah 43:15. "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel."
And whenever you hear somebody trying to throw Israel down, well, you bet that what they're saying is they don't like what God created. They do that with everything else too. So Isaiah chapter 40. Now let's get this other time that the Creator is mentioned. And it really goes, and I save it for last, because it goes with our text in 1 Peter. Because our text in 1 Peter, if you remember, as we've been traveling through that book of the Bible, and we've been seeing how God can sustain His children in the most terrible of times, in the sufferings of life, in the persecutions of life, even when God's people are doing right and they suffer for it, God is still there. And the Bible says that we have a faithful Creator. And I think what he's pointing us back to Isaiah chapter 40. Because as Isaiah discusses the Creator, he mentions Him in verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, what does He say? Fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. Now, why does He bring this up? Look at verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high. See, they're walking around with their eyes somewhere else except on God. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. Now watch 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. You know what they're saying? They're saying God's forgotten about us. God doesn't care about us. God doesn't know about us. God doesn't see us. We're hid from His sight. And Isaiah says, no, nothing is hid from the sight of the Creator. And whatever you're going through, it's not too hard of an issue for the Creator. He can make animals jump out of the ground. He can make birds start flying in the air. He can hang the earth on nothing and put all the stars out there and call them all by name. He's the Creator. And He's not forgotten about anything. If he understands when the sparrow falls, who cares when a sparrow falls? I don't. But the Creator does because He made it. He's interested in everything. The hair that's on your head, the number of it. The Creator is totally involved in everything He made. He doesn't just sit back like a grandpa and let the world go on its merry way. No, He's involved in creation. He's watching creation. And the eyes of the Lord are going through to and fro the whole earth. He said, okay, you got a hard time. Well, just remember that the Creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not. You may get tired, but He's not going to get tired. You may be worn out, but He's never worn out. You may get tired of doing right, but He'll never get tired of being right. He is never weary. He never faints. There, He says in verse 28, there is no searching of His understanding. And while you're going through what you're doing, just know, hey, you've not even touched the hem of the garment. God not only knows all the answers, He knows all the questions. And He's got it planned out, and He's got it figured out. And there's nothing too hard for Him that helps someone that they may not faint when they understand that their Creator, listen now, not just should be remembered, not just should be worshipped, not just should be served, but that the Creator should be trusted. That He's not weak like I am. And He sure isn't dumb like I am. Look at the next verse, 29. He giveth power to the what? That's what Peter's trying to tell him. Go to God. A faithful Creator. He can give you power. He gives the power for the sun to come up in the morning. He gives power to the moon to stay in its place. He gives power for the sea to continue to roll. He gives power for the clouds to drop their rain and the dew to come upon the grass. And He can give power to a fainting individual that needs to find some strength from God. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When God tells us that He's a faithful Creator, He's pointing us to Himself because He's not weary, He's not weak, He has plenty of power, He has full understanding. And just about every time, I won't go through them this morning, but about every time you go through the New Testament and it tells us that God is faithful, you know what He does? He lets you know that He can do something for you. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. See that? But will also with it make a way of escape that you may be able to what? Bear it. The faithfulness of God is not there for him. The faithfulness of God is there for you. If we confess our sins, you know, he's what? Why is he faithful? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. His faithfulness is there for me, for my cleansing, for my escape from temptation. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do what? Sanctify you wholly. He is faithful that promised. Promised what? Promised that you could hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. He's true to his promise. His promise to you. The faithful Creator. Remember him. Worship him. Serve him. And trust him. And do as Peter says. Listen, I'm finished. Commit. That's a bad word today. People don't commit to anything anymore. But the Bible says, commit the keeping of your soul unto a faithful Creator. You can trust him with everything you got. He's got big enough shoulders, big enough arms. And if I remember my faithful Creator and bring him my life and my soul and my all and just commit everything I have to him, you won't be disappointed.